Hello and welcome to Media Savvy Moms, the podcast that is leading the conversation about parenting and pornography today. I am your host, Marilyn Evans, and in every episode, I share amazing resources and practical solutions that will help your family build safer screen habits so that together you can thrive in this media-saturated world. Moms, dads, grandparents, educators, and community leaders, you are all invited to join in. Let's get started. Today we are going to be talking about the often overlooked value of sport in helping young people create healthy body image and contribute to self-esteem while facing the challenge of growing up in this media-saturated, cell phone-driven, and hypersexualized world. And I'm so excited to have a guest on the show today. Her name is Larissa Mills. She is a parent, a teacher, and a coach. And she has a master's degree focusing on behavioral management. And with that background, she's been observing and studying the impact of cell phones on children and teens in the classroom and on the sports field for the last 10 years. She is also the founder of iParentGen.com, which is a parenting resource and website to help families balance the use of cell phones. As well, she does corporate digital wellness education. She's got two different podcasts, and I just want to welcome you here today, Larissa.
I am thrilled to be talking about such a sensitive topic that needs to be put out there. It needs to be talked about, and there's not enough parents and coaches and kids talking about it.
Absolutely. We are actually social media friends. We've never met in person, but I knew immediately that our passions for helping families manage media and technology were aligned. So I've actually interviewed for Larissa's podcast, and it was there you mentioned, let's do something about sports and body image. And I thought, yes, that is not something that we have addressed on the Media Savvy Moms podcast, but you are right. It is relevant. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and maybe a bit about iParentGen.
I come from a very athletic family of all boys. So if you couldn't play golf, football, hockey, and stay with the boys, then, you know, what were you going to do? There was nothing else to do, right? Unless you just played. People were more involved in sports 20 years ago than they are today, which is a very interesting fact. And one of the interesting things that I learned in the past 3 weeks through Sports Canada was that there is a steady decline in sports right now for participation for children ages 8 to 18. And when you look and examine at the elite sports, so let's say you take your competitive sports up, there is a distinct dropping out rate. That's worrisome to me because there's less and less kids becoming engaged, and we have to figure out what those reasons are. Now we can look at some data that are linked, but I can't say definitively what it is. I think it's a combination. And this is all pre-COVID. This is not even COVID.
Okay, so we're going to jump into that. But what about you? What about your family?
Well, I have three children, 17, 14, and 10. The 17-year-old is deciding to stay home this year. She is a very competitive swimmer. The 14-year-old is going through those stages. And before, he didn't talk much, and now he won't stop talking and telling me jokes. And then the little one, he is a ham. He makes us laugh. And all of them are very heavily involved in sports. And I like them to be involved, but it's their choice what to do. It's their choice if they want to try out for a team. It's their choice if they want to cross sport. So if they want to do, right now they do swimming, golf, soccer, and hockey. That's enough for mom.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And I'm all about supporting that. It's basically one or two all the time. I just have to be careful with it. But now that my daughter's driving, which also is nerve-wracking, she can help out a little bit. My husband is an emergency physician, so we've had a very different year than many other families.
Didn't realize that. And then iGen. Sorry, I said that wrong. iParentGen.
I founded iParentGen.com a few years ago because I was starting to observe a change in behavior in the classroom. And a change in behavior in the sports arenas. So what was happening? they were basically looking down at their phones, not engaging in class. Their grades were dropping. There was a distinct spike in anxiety, depression, suicide, isolated thoughts, less socialization. And when I started to examine the schools and the school systems that were banning phones, all of that resumes. So they all become happy. They all start participating in sports. They all start to be more engaged in school. Grades go up. France saw a big change. And so I'm just about to interview a principal from St. Thomas More in Quebec. She decided as a principal to go it on her own and ban phones. And now the kids actually come into their offices. They talk to teachers. They engage. They feel valued and appreciated, which is why we escape to phones, right? If we don't feel valued or appreciated.
When you say there's school boards doing this, you're looking at maybe another country or very specific school boards?
Everywhere I can find. Minnesota, BC, parts of Calgary, Alberta, parts of anywhere where I'm looking. Mm-hmm. Schools are starting to trend towards no phones.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've already mentioned you're a huge sports enthusiast. Growing up with all boys did not deter you from that. It only encouraged you more. And I know you love being outdoors with your kids. You've touched on it. Do you want to speak to any more to how that's impacted your world as a coach, like what you're seeing personally?
When I examine the sports that I was in, so I was in just about everything. Track, rugby, volleyball, basketball. I even played flag football, rugby. And the dance I didn't gravitate to, but I actually consider dance and gymnastics sports, which a lot of people don't. And I think they're just wonderful for the body. And I'd have to say that each sport does something very different to your mindset. So contact sports, I found, made me very confident and made me feel tougher. And I could deal with more. And I found the individual sports harder because you needed to be harder on yourself. Like golf, we're not friends. Mm-hmm. And I find golfers have to have such a different mindset about themselves. Mm-hmm. But in terms of body image, that actually starts parenting at home, how we talk about our bodies, how we talk about nude photos, how we talk about pride, virtue, integrity, how we establish that value system of talking about it in our homes starts pre 3 years old, actually, in that stage of development. Are we hiding our bodies? Why am I hiding? I know moms who never change in front of their kids. Here's the thing that I always tell parents. When your kids don't want to see you change anymore, then that's it. That's their level of comfort. That's when you know. And I had that moment with one of them. They're like, Mom. I'm like, you came in my room. And I've never been ashamed, no matter if I'm post baby or whatever. I've never been ashamed of it. I've always been body positive.
I love what you said about the different types of sport. I hadn't really thought of that, but I swam in high school and my husband did a lot of team sports. He was football, he was basketball, he was baseball. Yeah. And he's a much bigger sports fan than I am. So he watches a lot.
Yeah.
And he'll get really frustrated with different coaching. And yes. I'm like, I don't get that because I had a great swim coach, but it was such an individual thing too. So I get where you're talking about there. It's starting to click and make sense for me.
There is a difference, and there's a difference in mindset, discipline, and healthy habits.
Uh-huh.
Do they have the right mental skills, or do they have the right resilience? Are they able to bounce back in playoff situations or championship games and pressured games and tied games? And I'm finding that less children are able to do that. We see the links to less socialization, lack of confidence, lack of talking, lack of hanging out because they're on their phones 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, I've heard you link that back to the cell phone.
And lack of parenting talk. If they're on their phone 40 hours, parents we know are documented on their phone for 4 or 5 hours. So it's all about us mm-hmm. being role models because they're only going to copy us. So we try and be off our phones when the kids are around. If we're working, mm-hmm. mommy and daddy are on our laptops. Now, COVID is different. We are on our laptops, but it's hard to find work hours when the kids need to be online. So we might have to work in the evenings a bit.
Talk to me about how A, you manage the cell phones with your team.
Oh, yeah.
You can contrast that with how you would manage it with as a parent or advice for parents.
Typically, if I were coaching a team, let's say any type of volleyball team or track, I send out a contract, one for the kids to sign about their agreement to healthy habits. And I also get them in that contract to talk about sleep. They can't stay up till midnight. They can't stay up till three. They can't be gaming, because if they're not ready and energized for me to work them out and to give me their 120%, I will find somebody who will. Uh-huh. They are replaceable, and that's what they have to learn. I'm a little bit tougher, but that's the way the world is working. And a lot of schools can't do that. But as a private coach, I can.
That fits in so well to what we talk about at Parents Wear Safer Screen Habits, is getting kids to actually think about what their goals are and how technology fits in with that. And that's what you're getting them to do as a coach. Like,
mm-hmm. And we take it one step further. Mm-hmm. So if we have a team app, which some coaches do, or we have a WhatsApp, because we're not going anywhere near Snapchat.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I'm a big advocate of deleting Snapchat completely, which harbors criminals of all sorts, from drugs to pedophiles, et cetera, and trafficking. So I educate parents a little bit about social media and how it actually can destroy their confidence before they get it. Mm-hmm. Everyone develops confidence at a much different age. But to continue on that contract, we talk about diet, healthy habits, exercise, sleep, meditation, bonding time, got to hang out with your friends. I even get the parents to sign their version of that contract, and how it's important to advocate really good role modeling with the terms of the phone, eating, sleep, going to bed on time. Are your phones all on the main floor? Because we know what happens as soon as they go to their rooms. And nothing good happens after 10 on a phone.
You are speaking my language, Larissa.
We are queen of screens, Marilyn. So I do get a little rub back from parents.
I imagine.
But I'm finding that if your kid isn't going to toe the line to be the best athlete that I know a child can be, then go somewhere else. Go see if you can get a more qualified coach.
I really love that you're looking at the whole health of the child while you're having fun, while you're coaching them to excel at this sport, but you're thinking of the whole health.
Sports is 80% mental. When you're at this level, it's 80% mental. And then if they don't even have that 80 going in terms of resilience, self-talk, are they negative self-talking? How is their body image? I can tell at tryouts right away if I have an insecure child by the way they move their shirt, by the way they pull their pants, by the way they keep doing something repetitive. And I like to look at behavior. Mm-hmm. So I will like, why is she doing that? We'll sit down and talk. And I always am open to the kids coming and talking to me in public. Like, if you want to stay after practice for 15 minutes, I can talk. And they know that they can trust me, and they know that they can come to me. And guess what I have? In my lunchroom at the school, it'll be filled with kids because they don't want to talk to their parents. They want to talk to me. And that's great. But it builds that trust. And then they start playing better for me. Mm-hmm. They trust what I am doing. I give feedback. I give structure. I build confidence in my kids. I will never humiliate a child. I don't yell typically at my athletes because I don't need to, because I've structured it that way.
Okay.
Do I get heated? I may get louder in certain situations, but I'm really a very quiet coach because I'm all about, let's take you off because something's not clicking. Let's sit down and review your skills in your head. Where's your mind working? Some NBA players are looking at their phones during halftime. Like, I'm sorry. And NCAA athletes are doing that. So
I
I'm kind of
have a talk with Larissa.
I want you to sit with me on the bench. I said, let's go through your basic fundamentals. Let's look at strategy, offense, defense. Soon as you've gone through those emotional skills in your head and all your visuals, I'll put you back on the court. When you are in the right mindset, when you have done the work, I will put you back on. Within 2 minutes, all the kids want to go back on. They don't wait.
Fantastic.
It's structure. If you don't set up the structure of your value system for the season, you're not going to help any of these kids, and you're going to get the rub back from parents.
And all of what you've just described on your team, I see such an application to translate it into home life. I mean, you're asking them to do that at home. Why, as parents, are we not doing more of that. Like, let's get our head in the game, kids. Let's see where we're going. Let's get those devices turned off at a certain hour at night. Let's put them away. Let's get the healthy sleep that we need so we can function and be our best selves every day.
I actually spoke to a sleep expert on one of my podcasts, mm-hmm. and I was astounded by the amount of children that are staying up till 2 and 3 a.m. gaming, and then they want to play hockey at a very high level, or volleyball or football, but they're addicted to their games. So the coaches are sitting down and saying, right now, I'm telling you, if you're a gamer, if I find out that you're not sleeping well, I can tell, because you can't handle the running. You can't handle the flow. You can't handle the focus of your strategies when you're running progressive drills, drills that lead into other more difficult drills. And when kids aren't getting it, you know that something is not right.
And of course, we're talking about individuals at an age where they're going to push the limits. They're going to think that that doesn't apply to them, that they're stronger, they can take the risks, that they can do this. Because growing up is really tough work. And they've got these things vying for their attention. They want to fit in. There's a desire to conform, if not almost a need at that age, to be drawn to their friends and doing what their friends are doing. This is all normal. But you add in that social media, the hypersexual media, and these quests for likes, keeping a positive body image can be a real challenge. As parents, how can we celebrate the body while placing a greater emphasis on health and body diversity?
Okay, that's a two-part. So let me go with the first part. For me, I want to raise strong kids, not just physically. Mentally is more important for me. I think part of that is gratitude. And part of gratitude is, okay, I'm really glad I worked out today. I really am glad that I ate well. I made fairly good choices. And I'm trying to teach my kids, well, most they were doing gratitude lists before bed. I am really thankful that we got to go to the zoo. Like, they do that stuff when they were little, right? But I'm teaching them mantras before bed.
Okay.
So mantras are a form of self-talk that I teach in my leadership courses mm-hmm. for coaches and athletes that lead to a very high level form of abstract self-talk, which leads to resilience. These are the baby steps that parents can teach at home. So my kids were like, I have superpowers. I'm a problem solver and I'm fast like a cheetah. Now this is 5 years old, right? But then it develops and they keep thinking this way. And it's the brain pattern you want, the behavioral pattern. Well, so what? You had a bad practice. So what? Mom's had a lot of bad practices. Uh-huh. Just go back to the next practice and you work a little harder, or ask your coach what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and teach kids how to improve and get the feedback so they can become more confident. How do we get confident? Making decisions. So I actually allow intrinsic behavior and motivators in my kids and in my athletes. Athletes, I let them take ownership of the warm-up. It's theirs. They feel confident. I want the kids to design the Friday's practice. Oh, she's letting us do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want jokes at the beginning of each practice about our sport. It's called relatability and intrinsic motivation. Helping them with mantras, leading them to self-talk and how to take out self-talk. We're going to have body issues, right? We're going to say, oh, I look so fat in this, or I don't look good in that uniform or this. And I'm like, well, we are all special. We are all who we are. And I picked you because you each have an individual talent in your heads that I like, your mind work
mm-hmm.
and your skill work. And I like to say to kids, I like this about you when you do this, because it's very behavior oriented. When I don't say, I like it when you do this, they don't understand or feel as confident. But if I put it out there, they get it. So for instance, Julie, you had great intuition when you served and came in and dug the ball. Keep that intuition growing.
Yeah. And then their self-esteem just goes way high.
It just inflates.
Yeah.
It's like a balloon. It's amazing.
You Sarah. Recognized a very specific thing that that child did right. and praised them.
But that's coaching. You have to have leadership and you have to have behavior now as a coach or you're done.
Mm-hmm. I love this idea of mantras before bed. That's the great one.
Mantras before workouts.
Mm-hmm.
I will listen to my coach. I will apply my body to the drill. I will apply what they're saying to the game. And I get my kids and athletes to say that. Because if they're not saying it, I don't know that they're going to think about it out there.
They're not. There's so much negative self-talk that is going to come in place of it.
I don't want that talk.
Yeah.
I want to know how the tape recorder is working in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I can almost anticipate, oh, she's going to go right. She's going to go left. She's going to do this. I can almost tell and get to know the athletes well enough based on their behavior and predict that I've got to be with them, you know, 5-10 hours a week. So I can predict that, but it's interesting. But body image takes time, Marilyn, uh-huh. and it starts young and it starts by being strong, I think, and feeling good.
And sport right. can help that feeling of being strong.
It does, because the self-talk and the confidence decision makings and having that ability to take care of it. I said, you're taking care of yourself. Look at you. I said, if you guys don't work out by 18 years old, do you know what happens to your bones? And I'll give them these little things. You'll actually have a higher chance of having osteoporosis by 75.
I wanted to touch on some sports do focus on a specific body type. So there's dance, there's gymnastics, there's bodybuilding. Yep. And maybe those are controversial sports, but they are classified as sport. They take immense physical training. Stamina. So how do we balance that? I know that you don't coach those sports, but
it's still all relatable. Yeah.
So any special tips to ensure kids don't become body obsessed with this type of sport?
Well, if I could speak to the dance and the gymnastics, where we're finding a fairly high amount of eating disorders,
mm-hmm.
very high. In fact, CAMH put out something just a few weeks ago, and so did the Canadian Pediatric Society. I don't know the number, but I do know that it has jumped significantly from 2012, 2016, another study, and then 2020. It has just gone through the roof. So we have to look at their online more, seeing more, visualizing more. But unfortunately, their brain is not developed till 25. Their frontal lobe and cortex are just not able to process impulsivity and the images and what is actually behind what they're seeing. So if your kids are in dance, you have a little bit more mental work to do. I find it takes more work for gymnastics parents and dance parents and individual sport parents. That is a lot more on them, a lot more pressure, which means you're going to have to be that much more supportive.
Yeah.
So right there, I would say we have to start young and we have to start by saying strong, strength. Do you feel good? I want you to be happy. Because if these kids are happy, body image really isn't, you know, who cares?
Okay.
I want the kid that is happy right there, just within their own shell. They know their jam. They know what they want. And that kid is just so fun to be with because that kid can make fun of themselves. And when you're at that point, that's where I think there's a healthy mindset. But those sports, highly intense, very body image driven. And I would actually help those kids set up for me because I didn't like it, but I did it. Because my parents were like, if you sign up, you got to go to the end when you, and I did, but I learned. You have to be disciplined with your diet. You have to be disciplined with sleep. If you don't sleep, I was dead.
Uh-huh.
How do I dance for 4 hours? I'm like, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. It's tough.
I imagine it's finding the right coach and the right program to help.
It is. There are a lot of different competitive coaches with a lot of different images and a lot of different mm-hmm. ideologies. But really, if you want healthy dancers and if I own those companies, I would want the parents to know that I'm also doing mind and body and health.
Look for that.
It's what to look for.
This could be a podcast in itself.
I love these ones. I'm ready.
Even veer off here. But if we could touch on peer pressure, porn culture, and the locker room mentality that I don't want to be biased, but I think is more in male team sports than female.
I think it's different, Marilyn.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. Educate me.
Okay. When you are in a female locker room, there, I feel when the kids and I talk to the kids, they're a little bit more critical of bodies, critical of what's going on. And they talk. Actually, I don't see much difference, except for I'm not in a male locker room, but you know, it's more publicized. So we hear of more behavior about, oh, did you go out with her? Did you have sex with her? Or that type of bravado happening. But I think girls can be just as crude sometimes.
Okay.
I'm hearing both. It's different, but I feel like girls are a little bit more critical of each other and a little bit more jabby, and they need to be a little bit more team oriented.
I can see where you're coming there. Right. They get catty and spiteful.
You can see the insecurities right there. You can see which individuals are insecure, which ones will be mean to get popular, which ones will be sweet to get popular, and which ones feel so much pressure they will do anything to get popular.
Yeah, and then whereas in the boys' locker room, the male locker room, it's about keeping up and being macho enough or cool enough and feeling the pressure to engage in whatever the coolest kid on the team is doing.
It's all in this team culture now. It's always been there though. Remember the bracelets?
The bracelets?
Remember that? It's the same thing, but it's transferable to phones. So one white bracelet means you've had sex with a virgin. You know, the blue bracelet means you're with someone. The green bracelet means you've gone to second base. Like there, I'm not going to go through.
I missed that trend. I'm sorry.
There was all these bracelets. And if you had a lot of bracelets,
you
know what that meant.
Okay.
Right? Now it's transferable to things indicated on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. So preparing our kids how to manage that.
It comes back to socialization. Everything is coming back to getting them to have a good head on their shoulders and making good decisions based on their own moral fiber.
Right. Really talking about those values at home.
Yep.
I've got one last set of questions. What if your child is losing interest in sport or was never interested in the first place? Do you believe there's a sport for everyone?
Yep.
How do you keep kids active? How do you keep them engaged face to face?
Based on their interests. We deal with that all the time at schools. And I think that we have to start raising children to take their fitness seriously. They don't have to be athletic, but they have to take their fitness seriously because of all the limbic system, circulatory, bone, muscular systems. They all have to work and grow and develop. And if we're not working on that, then they're going to become ill or not develop properly. So that's a concern. So we want them to be fit, but you don't need to be athletic. So can we give them workouts? Can we walk? Maybe they just want to be an outdoorsy fit person. Which really is what I'm finding, that when those kids are like, yeah, I'm not interested, I'm like, do you need full contact sports? Like, do you want archery? Do you want something more? Do you want to do fencing? Like, I'll sign them up. Like, if my kid on my team says, you know, I really don't want to play volleyball anymore. Okay, what do you want to do? Well, my mom wanted me to play volleyball, but I don't. And I get that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what do you want to play? I want to play basketball. Oh. Well, then just tell your parents you want to play basketball. No, doesn't work. I said, well, do you want me to talk to your parents? And I gently broached that. I said, they're going to give it all to basketball, not to volleyball, which very rarely has happened. I have to say on my watch, but it does happen. But it's usually a parent-driven decision. So when a kid finds a sport that they want, there was this kid who in the States, I read an article very quickly. His dad was a NCAA football player, and his dad put him in everything football for years.
Yeah.
This kid at the school, the teachers noticed he never picked up a football. He picked up a basketball every day. He didn't go for the football. He was basketball, basketball, basketball. The coaches at the school were like, do you want to try out for our team? Yeah, I want to try out for your team. And the dad was ballistic. To the point where this kid moved in with his coach family and played basketball because his dad was so, I want to almost say primitively barbaric about it, right? And very authoritarian about it, where he never gave the child a choice. And in parenting, I always say, we want a dialogue, not a monologue all the time with our kids. And that child never had that, but his coach was giving it to him. And then eventually they worked it out. But it was about the father letting go of his ego for that sport and letting go of that ideology. And I'm like, you just need to love your kid. And it doesn't matter what sport they do. If my kid picked golf, okay. If my kid picked fencing or archery or dance, like, it's what they love. Mm-hmm. I just want them to be the best they can be.
And if they're losing interest in a particular activity, don't withdraw them from all activity. Find something. Like, fitness is on the table somehow.
Fitness is still on the table.
Yeah.
In any household, it doesn't matter the child, it doesn't matter the body type, but fitness has to be on the table. Also for stress. Mm-hmm. And for being able to manage our health, it's crucial for those kids to get that stress relief. And I bet you now there's a lot of parents going, I want my kids in sports. There's a reason, because puberty in the brain makes them go nuts. And when they're done playing their sport, they are more gel and chill, right? The endorphins have helped.
But if a kid's not used to being in sport, they're not going to want to.
Oh, if this is a child that's not interested, then I would introduce them to something that they want to do. Mm-hmm. If it's them making the decision, they'll be 110 times more invested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. Okay. Well, to wrap up, we've been talking about sport and body image today and how the cell phone has really got in there and made it difficult, how important diet, sleep, socialization is. It's all about creating healthy habits. I love Larissa's tip of having positive self-talk before bed, before game, you know, really getting our kids to talk positively about themselves. And we can model that, of course. I love that Larissa encourages talking on her teams and how valuable that is to the development of kids during adolescence. And these are skills that they're going to take into adult life, and that it's about being fit, not athletic. So there is some fitness, some sport, some activity that every child can engage in. And if you've been listening today, then you know there's multiple, multiple benefits for this. So let's get out there. Let's get busy. Let's get active. And we're going to thrive in a media saturated world if we can do some of these things. So you have a challenge for our parents today, Larissa?
Yes. So if you have a child that is going back to sports and they're a little nervous about contact after COVID, right? That's almost my tagline. Contact after COVID. How do we do that? So A, your coaching staff and your sports association will make sure that everything is done well and socially distanced. But how to get the mindset back is gently talking to the kids about, okay, do you feel all right about your sport? You're ready to go. How do you feel about it? Is there anything you want to tell me? I'm open. My phone is down. It is not in my hand when I'm talking to my kids. It is 100% on them. It doesn't happen all the time, right? Because the time in everyone's home and work is different, but I like to put phones down and have a conversation, and it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Mm-hmm. I want them to feel they can exchange and tell me what they want. Mom, like, is he going to spin in my face? Like, these are the questions I've had. Well, no, you won't be playing games yet. Oh, okay. Well, we'll gradually work up to games. Yes, we'll gradually work up to games. Okay. And those were my questions that I faced, but the parents coming at me, we actually have a really great podcast, Jens and I, about re-engaging in sport specifically. So if people want to listen to it, there's going to be a list of steps to follow. Okay. But basically, it's about talking. Are you ready? What do you need to feel ready? Do you want to talk to the organization? Do you want to read their policies and procedures? How they're going to make it safe? There's no travel right now. So basically, I said, let's focus on first, the practices. Let's get through though a few of those. Then we'll look at games, you know, that type of thing. It's about progress. It's not about perfection. It's just always about progress. So if we look at it like that, just talking to them and seeing how they feel, that's the best place to start.
Wonderful. Well, if it lines up, we will link to that episode in the show notes so that parents can have a look at that. Thank you so much for joining me here today. It's been fantastic, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks, Marilyn, and keep doing what you're doing.
For more information about what was discussed in this episode, visit our detailed show notes at parentsaware.info. And if you'd like to follow us on social media, You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Parents Aware. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast. Until next week, keep talking.